Oh yeah, if you need a Bible, please raise your hand and our ushers will get you one. You can also grab a Bible on your way in at the back of the sanctuary. There are some Bibles there on your way in. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. It says this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for this time. I thank you for calling us into your presence today, into church, and for the time of worship that we had, God. We just want to worship you and praise you. We thank you for just the word from Jungmin, God, about surrendering and laying down because you are such a good father. So this morning, we just come before you. We want to lay down our hearts, God, open up our hearts, surrendering to you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and speak to us this morning. And we're so grateful for your presence and for your love and for your grace. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. It's already December. Can you guys believe that? It seems like yesterday we had just finished our 21-day fast, and we were starting off with year 2011, and we, you know, had our New Year's service, and we wrote down, you know, what God, we felt like God was telling us about this coming year, and now we've only got 4 weeks to go before we hit our 21-day fast again. And time is going really fast, and I hope that you will have a chance to reflect upon this year. You can come to our New Year's Eve service, December 31st, right here at church, midnight, 11 o'clock service, and you'll Pastor Sam will lead you in a time of just reflecting and remembering what God has done in your life this year and looking forward to next year and what God's going to do. But today I wanted to talk about fighting the good fight. The title of the message today is called The Ultimate Fighter. If you guys don't know what The Ultimate Fighter is, it's a TV show in the States. I guess it's, I don't watch it, but it's a bunch of young men that want to make it in the MMA fighting scene. And they get into the show and they fight together, they live together, they fight together, and they come up to the top. And I don't know what the award is, but it's a show about that. And I remember, I'm not so much into Ultimate Fighting Championship, but our good friend Kenny, who works at church with us, he's really into UFC, Ultimate Fighting Championship. And he tells me that he remembers the very first time he saw Ultimate Fighting Championship on TV. He had it on cable or something, and it was the first time that this show was going to come on. And he says he was so excited that he was shaking. He was sitting there on the couch shaking just at the anticipation of what this is going to be. And it's something about fighting that gets us guys excited and our blood boiling. And, you know, some girls might wonder, you know, what's wrong with you guys? You know, why are you watching these fights and blah, blah, blah? But, you know, it's biblical, right? Even Paul here says, I fight the good fight. He later on, we'll read a verse, he'll say, I box as if not hitting air, but I box, you know, to hit the target. So the title of the message is Ultimate Fighter. And I realize as we are drawing to the end of this year, 2011, we have been through a lot as a church. We moved into our new sanctuary, and we've had our very first church plant, right? PSAM Kim has gone to Beijing to start the church plant. And we've also had our very first wedding right here in this sanctuary. And a lot of things have been going on. And we've been talking about running hard after God, right? It's been a long year. And we've had a good run. But I feel that even for myself, I sense that there is a part of me that's just kind of getting tired, you know? When I talk about the 21-day fast coming up, our reaction is, wow, really? Again? Already? It's 21-day fast again? I just want a break, you know? I'm so tired. I just want a break. And, you know, breaks are good. It's necessary, right? I encourage you to make time to recreate with God because we need to. I subscribe to a newsletter type thing on a from a youth ministry website, and every week they'll send us a like a blog kind of thing on a different topic. And a few weeks ago, the topic was take a day off or die. Because that was the whole point. If you don't take a day off in youth ministry, you're just going to burn out. And in the same way, as a church, if we don't take a day off, if we don't take a day off, we don't take a break, we don't recreate with God, we're going to burn out or we're going to die. But this morning, my encouragement to you is to hang in there and to fight the good fight. The passage that we read today comes from Paul, and he's writing this letter near the end of his life. It is generally agreed that 2 Timothy, this book that we read, is probably the last letter that Paul wrote while he was in prison near the end of his life, and is telling Timothy, his spiritual son, that he has done it, you know, that he has persevered, he has hung in there, he has completed his mission, and he is ready to go. Scholars are not 100% agreed on this, but between Paul's conversion experience in Damascus and his death in Rome, there were probably approximately 30 years, right? So Paul, he followed God, he loved God, he served God passionately with all his heart, with all his strength, for about 30 years. And SP, our church, we have been around since 2003. So we've done it for about 8 years, and we've got at least 20 more to go. And for me, I've been working here full-time since 2008, and I'm just completing my third year of full-time ministry. I've got a long way to go. And it's not time for us yet to get tired. You know, it's not time for us to get worn out yet. And I'm here to just challenge you and to encourage you to keep fighting the good fight, as Paul says. And the promise is so glorious, right? Paul says here, in the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. That is awesome. That if we continue in our good fight, and we keep faithful, and then we fight the good fight till the end of our lives, there's going to be a crown of righteousness that's awarded to us by the righteous judge. I mean, that alone is motivation enough to get us excited to say, I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to persevere. And today, I just want to talk about three things related to fighting the good fight. The first thing will be remembering our calling. The second thing is remaining faithful in the small things. And the last thing I'm going to talk about is fighting the good fight together, right, as a community. And the first point, remember our calling. It has to do with why do we need to fight the good fight? And what the point I'm trying to make is remember what we are fighting for, right? Paul, he was a man who knew his calling. In Acts chapter 9, verse 15, right after he gets converted into Christianity, well, you know the experience, right? He is walking to Damascus, and he is blinded by this brilliant light, and it's the presence of Jesus, and he doesn't know where to go, but all he knows is that God tells him to go find this man named Ananias, who's going to help him out. And in the meantime, while Paul is traveling on his way to find Ananias, Ananias is getting a message from God, and God is telling Ananias this: go, for Paul is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. This was the calling that God had placed upon Paul. Ananias at first is like, no way I'm going to go to this guy. I know this guy. He's a persecutor of the church. But God says, no, you need to go because he's a chosen instrument of mine that I have called to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. So Ananias goes, and I'm sure Ananias told Paul, hey, this is what God said about your life. This is your calling. And since then, since that experience with Jesus, Paul never looked back, right? He ran hard to follow that calling and to fulfill that mission. And he also encourages Timothy to fight the good fight. If you can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 and 21 says this: O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you, avoiding worldly and empty chatter and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and thus gone astray from the faith. Grace be with you. He encourages Timothy to fight the good fight, to guard what was entrusted to him. You know, what was entrusted to Timothy was the calling that God had given to Timothy to be the pastor of the church in Ephesus. That was the role of Timothy that God had placed upon him. And I want to tell you that when God calls us to something, that's, it's like he's entrusting you with a task in this life, you know, with his work. We learn in EG, right, Experiencing God, our discipleship course, that God is always at work and is inviting his people to join with him in doing his work. But nobody can do the work, nobody else can do that work in the way that you can, right? So that means if you don't participate and if you don't fulfill that calling that God has given to you, it's not going to be done the way God had intended it to be done through you, right? And it's the ministry that God has entrusted to you. So why do we fight the good fight? Because we've received a calling. Each of us has a calling in our life to do something for the kingdom of God, to give God glory and to destroy the works of the enemy, to join God in what God is doing. And if we don't fight that good fight, that work is not going to get done. I'm not much of a blog reader, but there is one blog that I found on the internet a few months back. I remember it was the beginning of the year, and I was kind of struggling with my life. I was struggling with, you know, what is my calling, Lord? You know, what have you called me to do? And I had this desire to really go out and live all out for God, but I didn't know how to do it. So what did I do? I went to Google, and I said, God, I want to live a full life. I searched that on Google, or how do I live a full life? And when I searched it, this blog came up, and it's a blog by this man named Seth Barnes, and he is a Christian leader. He runs a ministry called Adventure in Missions, and what they do is they take a bunch of young people, they do this thing called World Race, and they take a bunch of young people who sign up to be missionaries, basically. They want to give a whole year of their lives, and for the whole year, they're on this world race. They go around the world sharing the gospel, right? They'll start from South America, and they'll do the South American countries, and they'll fly over to Asia, and they'll do the Asian countries, and they'll go to Africa, and they'll do the African countries. Just going around and sharing the gospel, and he kind of leads this ministry, but he also has a blog. And interesting, I tried to search for that again on Google yesterday. I was like, how to live a good life, or full life. I want to live a life fully. It didn't come up, so I don't know. Maybe it was divine, right? Because this blog really encouraged me in that time. And this a few days ago, this was the blog entry that he wrote. And it kind of relates to what I wanted to say, so I wanted to read it to you. Two thoughts for you today. Number one, you are made to be somebody's hero. Number two, yet along the way to fulfilling that call on your life, you face distractions. These two facts remind me of a scene from the Odyssey. Odysseus is on the boat headed to his destiny when up ahead is a test that may keep him from it. It's a group of mermaid-like women called the Sirens, and they sing a song so beautiful that the passing sailors are drawn to veer off course and into danger. And wanting to hear the sirens but not succumb to it, Odysseus has himself tied to the mast while everyone else plugs their ears with wax. The siren song represents the good things that distract you from fulfilling your destiny and becoming the hero that God wants you to be. As you sail your ship through life, what is the siren song calling you to a place of distraction? And he lists out a few things. Somebody else's agenda for your life. The temptation of debt. A victim script. Addiction. Video games. Your comfortable lifestyle. Fear. What keeps you from fulfilling your purpose in life? What distractions do you struggle with? And I just want to say to you guys this morning that you are called to be somebody's hero. There's a calling on your life, and that calling is greater than just to get by as a Christian. Right? Your calling on life is greater than just to live a nice, comfortable Christian life and not get into any terrible sin and then go to heaven at the end of your life. Or you have a calling in your life and there's a kingdom dream, right, inside of you that God has placed in you that's going to fulfill His work. But we get so easily distracted by the things of this world. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, GIC, growing in Christ verse, right? For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And when God prepared that work in advance for you to do, God created you with a desire and a passion to fulfill that work. And so if we can remember our calling and that we've received as individuals, you know, and it comes through prophecy, it comes through your own time with God, you know, it comes through other people, you know, speaking into your life, it comes through discovering your own passions and stuff like that, you know, reflecting and contemplating and things like that. But we need to remember our calling, and we need to remind ourselves of that calling so that we will keep on fighting the good fight. Because, you know, when we're fighting the good fight and we're trying to be a good Christian, if we just focus on, okay, I don't want to get into this sin. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine a few years ago, and we're talking about this habitual sin. And he was like, oh, it's so hard, you know, to overcome this sin. But his point was that if he focuses on just overcoming that sin and becoming victorious from that, it's too hard to do. But if he focuses on the purpose in his life, you know, the calling that God has given to him to be an evangelist, you know, to take the gospel and to live a naturally supernatural way to be an example, to be a visual representation, you know, for people of who Jesus is and the power of God. If he can focus on that calling, then he sees how stupid it is for him to get stuck in this habitual sin. But if we lose sight of that calling and we just focus on trying to live a good life, it's too hard, you know? So we need to remember our calling. And I just want to remind ourselves, or remind us as a church, that we have a calling. We don't stress this enough as a church, but God has given the leaders of this church, I think last year, some specific vision as to what we're called to be and what we're called to do as a church. You know, simply put, our mission, our purpose, our vision of the church is this, right? To know Him, to make Him known. No, to be like Him and to make Him known. See, we need to remember these things. To know Him, to be like Him, and to make Him known. But there is a specific vision statement. I don't know if any of you know this, but we came up with a vision statement. And I want to share SP's vision statement with you so that we may remember our calling and fight the good fight. And it's this. Our vision statement is a Christ-like family that seeks after God's heart and transforms lives, communities, and nations through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'll read that to you one more time. A Christ-like family that seeks after God's heart and transforms lives, communities, nations through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? A Christ-like family. Our focus for that was relationships. You know, we wanted to have real, genuine relationship and love and unity in this church. We had just done this survey, and we were hit hard with this reality that our church is known for lacking love. Out of all the values that a church could have, one of our lowest values, or one of the lowest things that we had was love. Like, we were known as church that didn't really love people. So we're like, we got to change that, you know? So we said, you know, we want to be a Christ-like family where we can really open up to each other and be vulnerable to each other and have a tight relationship. So that's Christ-like family that seeks after God's heart. That kind of came from our desire to be hardcore. I remember we were talking about this, and can't we just say hardcore in our vision statement? Like, no, we can't put that word in the vision statement. But that was our heart. We wanted to be a church that followed after God hardcore, you know, full on. Not half-hearted, but wholehearted, you know? Really just pursue after God with desperation. Like what P. Sam said last Sunday, reigniting a passion for God, that we would full court press into the presence of God, right? So that was seeking after God, transforming lives, communities, nations. We want to make a difference. We want to be a church that makes a difference for the kingdom of God, bringing the kingdom of God to earth and destroying the works of the enemy. Right? We're not just here just to enjoy each other's company and enjoy a nice time of worship and just have a nice, comfortable life. We have a calling to make a difference, to bring the love of God and to transform lives. And lastly, ministry of the Holy Spirit, being naturally supernatural. You know, we wanted to be a church that just operated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So that's our vision statement, and it's an awesome calling. We should receive this calling with fear and trembling, and we're not there yet. But let's remember this calling as a church and fight the good fight. You know, keep fighting and persevere. As we draw the near end of 2011, remember that, you know, God has given us this awesome calling, and we need to guard what God has entrusted to us. Amen? And number two, the second point is, what does the good fight look like? And I want to say it's remaining faithful even in the small things. You know, what does the good fight look like? It's remaining faithful even in the small things. Oftentimes we like to think that the fight is something grandiose, you know, and that the calling we have from God is this like big and awesome thing. And it is, right? The calling that we receive from God is awesome. It's grandiose. It's great. But living out that calling is not always a grand endeavor. The real fight actually happens in the mundane, everyday life. If you can turn with me to Psalm chapter 37, or Psalm 37, verse 1 through 4. Psalm 37, 1 through 4 goes like this. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I love that phrase, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. You know, when things are not going as well as we want to, our tendency is to look around and think, oh man, the grass is so much greener on the other side. And we just want to call it quits, and we want to just do something else, and we want to move on to something else. But I feel like what God is telling us as a church, you know, you've been running hard for a whole year, and God says, remain faithful. Remain, stay in what you're doing. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. At the end of last year, let me just share with you my story. I was really contemplating leaving Hong Kong. So I was really big on like finding out my calling, finding out my passion, finding out my dream. I was asking God, God, what is my dream? You know, what have you put inside of me to do? And I was really kind of seeking after that. And some experiences led me to believe that God wanted me to go to seminary, that God had called me to be a leader and He wanted me to go to seminary. So I thought, okay, I'm going to do it. But my heart, end of last year, was really kind of set on leaving Hong Kong and leaving SP and attending a seminary. And my kind of thing was, I want to do my own thing. Like, I want to find out what my calling is. I want to do my own thing. And I was really kind of headed that direction. But kind of towards the end of last year and then beginning of this year, God began to speak to me about dwelling in the land, remaining faithful and staying put where I was put by God, and that my good fight was not to do my own thing, but was to remain faithful, serving the vision of Pastor Sam. And it was hard at first. When I first felt like God said that to me, I really struggled. I said, really, God? You want me to stay? Because I had prayed and prayed and prayed. And I was pretty set. I was kind of telling people, hey, I think I'm going to leave at, you know, beginning of next year. And I think I'm going to go to seminary. And, you know, I prayed. And I felt like God had given me the okay. But then beginning of this year, God begins to say, actually, it was like he was inviting me to stay. You know, he wasn't saying, if you leave, you know, your life is going to be ruined. You must stay. But it was like, Nate, I know that it's hard for you to stay, you know, to be that faithful servant sometimes, but I want you to do it. Would you be able to do that? It was kind of like what Jungmin said, because, you know, he came up and he said, talked about surrendering, laying down our lives. But we don't do that because we don't know who God is. And God was basically saying, I'm a good father. I love you. And since I am such a good father, would you be able to serve your senior pastor as your spiritual father and just serve the vision of another man? And I was like, okay. And once I made that decision, I was struggling, but I said, okay, God, I'm going to do it. That's what you're calling me to do. I'm going to do it. Man, this peace, you know, just because I was okay about leaving, but I didn't have a lot of peace, even though I felt like God had given me the okay. But once I made the decision to stay, man, the peace was different. You know, I just was filled with peace in my heart, and I knew that I was doing what God had called me to do. And and there were multiple confirmations through different people, you know, prophesying over me and different sermons that I listened to. But, you know, it's not enough for me just to stay here, right? It's not enough for me just to say, okay, fine. God, you want me to stay? I'm going to stay. Whatever. Let me just stay. I'm going to do my thing. But it says, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. I need to practice being a faithful servant, right? We need to practice being faithful in what God has called us to do, even if it's not the most exciting or grand or, amazing thing that we always want to picture ourselves doing. And meaning, I need to do my job well. And it's usually the little things that challenge our faithfulness. In Matthew 25:21, Jesus says in his parable, he says, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Right? It's when we're faithful in the little things, then God can give us the greater things. And fighting the good fight means we're faithful in the little things. Do you guys know who Martin Smith? Anybody know who Martin Smith is? Wow, one person, worship leader, a few people. Martin Smith is the main singer of the band Delirious. Have you guys heard of Delirious? I'm sure you've heard of Delirious, the band, right? He's a worship leader, and they've done amazing things. Delirious is like the ultimate, like, Christian rock band. I grew up listening to them, and they did so much to inspire people with their music. And Delirious is the reason why Hillsong United came out. You guys know Hillsong United. Hillsong United came out of this thing that they had with Delirious, and they were so inspired with music, and they wanted to do that. So Delirious has a song called History Maker. And they sang it, you know, we sing it sometimes at church. I'm going to be history maker. And I went to, I think it was the last tour that Delirious is doing before they were going to break up as a band. And I went, and it was Martin Smith, the main singer, the leader of the band. He was kind of sharing this, and he said, you know, when they were younger, they used to think, you know, they would write that song, and they used to think, man, I'm going to be a history maker. I'm going to do great and amazing things, and I'm going to, do grand things and make a lot of changes, you know, in this world. Change history, make history. And, you know, if you think about it, they kind of did with their music, with their fame, with their, just as a band, they really made history. They really inspired people and changed the world. But then he says, as he gets older, more and more he's realizing that history making, it's not really the big stuff that he's doing that matters, but it's what he does at home. What he does after a tour when he goes home and how he interacts with his family. You know, what he does in his home church. You know, how he interacts and builds relationships with the people in his own small community. And he's saying the big stuff is good, but what really matters is his life at home. And if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26 to 27. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26 to 27. This is Paul saying this. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. And he's talking about, you know, he's preaching the gospel, right? That's his calling in life. And that's the grand thing that he's doing. But he's saying in the other aspects of life, he buffets his body and makes sure that he's disciplined because he knows that even if he does the big things well, if he doesn't do the small things well, he's going to ruin his ministry. He says, lest after I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. He knows that it's the small things. If he doesn't do the small things well, it disqualifies him even from the bigger things that he's doing. And so the good fight is remaining faithful even in the small things and being consistent. You know, I'm talking about being obedient. Being obedient to God. Being a person of integrity. Right, doing the small things well. How do you talk to, you know, your colleagues? How do you talk to your family members? You know, how do you make decisions in the workplace? You know, it talks about tithing. It's talking about just having a daily quiet time with God, cultivating that. Just the small things. Coming to church, even. Coming to church on time. Going to house church and being part of that and not flaking out. But house church is doing something together and keeping our attitude in check while we do these things. So how do we fight the good fight? What does it mean to fight the good fight? You know, it means we remain faithful, even in the small things. And the last point I want to make is, how should we fight the good fight? We fight it together. We fight the good fight together. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. Joshua 3, 14 to 17. So when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who carried the Ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of harvest, the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap a great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those which were flowing down toward the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho, and the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. We're studying the book of Joshua at House Church, and it's been a painstaking task. We're only on Joshua chapter 5, and it's been a whole season of House Church, and it takes a long time to study the Bible, hey? But we're studying this book, and this passage really spoke to me. It's talking about Joshua, who's leading the people of Israel finally across the Jordan into the promised land. And one verse right here that really stuck out to me, it's in verse 17. It says, "People, the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan." No one gets left behind, right? It's the whole nation, and the priests are sitting there waiting, holding off the water, so that everybody can cross together. And I believe that for us as a church, God wants us to fight the good fight together. That no one will get left behind as God takes us, you know, to new places as a church, as God leads us, that we together travel and as a community and do it in unity. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the church being a body. I'll just read it to you. "Now if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So our community, we're called to be one body. Whether you feel like you are plugged in, or you know, if you feel like you're not really being able to plug into the church, I want to stay, I mean, gentle in that. But just sometimes some people have this attitude like this. Because I'm not a hand, because I'm not so-and-so, because I'm not in this house church, because I'm not in this or because I'm not that, I don't belong to this body. But that doesn't mean you don't belong to the body. You're a part of the body, right? And I think we need to do this together. You know, God's calling us, fight the good fight, but fight it together. And there's two facets, right? There's the first part is, you know, the priest stood firm on dry ground until all the nations had finished crossing the Jordan. And if you feel like you are one of those people that are crossing the Jordan on time, that you are not lagging behind, that you are right on board with the church, and you're right on board with PSAM, and you're just going to go for it with the church, if you're in that category, we need to help those that are not able to move as fast for whatever reason and wait for them. And the second part is individually, even if you are struggling, we need to look not just to our own needs, but to the needs of the community and do our part, right? If you are one of the in the category of those lagging behind or kind of not crossing the Jordan, for whatever reason, let's not just look at our own need, but look to the needs of the community and what it means for us as a body to move together. And on that first point, you know, I want to say God is interested in where we're going, but he's also interested in how we get there, the process behind it. And the end just does not justify the means, right? Like, what if we as a church, sure, we get to the promised land, right? We get to our calling and we become an amazing church that is on fire. We seek after God and we transform lives and nations. But in that process of doing so, we're cutting off people that are just lagging. We're ignoring people. We're, what's that word? We are dismissing. We're dismissing people that can't keep up. Are we going to be able to stand before God as a church and say, we did so well, God, we did all these things for you. But in the process of getting there, we cut off a lot of people. We ignored a lot of people. We dismissed a lot of people that just couldn't keep up with what we're doing. We as a church, we had a calling from you and we did all these things. But these people were just flaking out. They were lagging behind. So we just said, whatever. And that's not cool. The process matters to God, and how we lead and how we do this thing as a church matters. And on the second point about us just not really being part of this church, you know, we need to understand that what we do as an individual, what you do as an individual, each person plays a part of what's going on in the whole church. You know, in any team sport, we understand this. You can't just look out for your own interests. I remember 4 or 5 years ago, we did this dragon boat thing. Sandro, our European dragon boat master, he led this team. Our church was a bit smaller, and we used to do these cool things. And we did this dragon boat race, and a few of the people signed up. And 1 year, I had the privilege of signing up to do dragon boat. And it's crazy, right? I don't know how many people are there, maybe like 12, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe 16 or something. And you're sitting side by side with a partner, and you have one goal, right? It's to paddle as fast as you can so that you can win the race. But you really got to work together as a team. And Sandro's up there, the white man just yelling at you like, come on, faster! Faster, faster, and he's hitting the drums. It's like, faster, faster, and we're just like, we're just trying to go as fast as you can. But in the process, you know, we have to understand that it's not just about me. If you're there as part of the dragon boat race, and you're paddling, and you think, oh, this sucks, because it does suck. It's so painful. It's like, oh, it's so painful. I hate it. I quit. You're just dead weight on the boat and you're slowing everybody else down, and you're not going to move together as a team. And what we do as an individual, it matters on the whole, on what happens as a whole. And I wanted to show you this video, but the internet is down for some reason, so I couldn't get it to work. But it's this, what you would have seen is this Navy SEAL training. You know, Navy SEAL is the American elite military team, special forces, right? And they have this crazy, excruciating training period to see if these guys will make it as a SEAL or not. And what you would have seen is like 6, 7, or 8 guys, and they're carrying this huge log above their heads. And they're doing like putting it from here and they'll here and here and here and one of the and there's the instructor. He's like yelling at the guys like, "Come on, you know, you suck. You know, do this well." And then he says, "I know this is heavy, so you want to go back to your own smaller logs that are much lighter. But you need to first do this. You need to hold up your log like this for 45 seconds." And if you can do it for 45 seconds, I'll let you go. You know, then you can go back to your own smaller log. So you see these guys, they're like, "Okay, let's do this." And they put this up. And the guy says, "Okay, time's starting." And he starts counting. And they're dying. You can see the guys dying, lifting up their log. And 4 seconds left before it's 45 seconds. The guy at the front can't hold it up. And he kind of drops. He kind of hits the head. And the instructor says, "Oh, sorry, bring it back down to your shoulders. Do this a few more times because obviously you're lacking in your strength. You need to train your strength. And do it again." And then they do it again. They do that and then says, "Do it for 45 seconds. But I wanted to say this to you. There's this guy, Eric Gritton. He's a former Navy SEAL and he's now an author. And I think he does a lot of speaking engagements on leadership and stuff. And he says, when he was in training, in that part of training, there were 220 guys that started with him. And at the end of that training period, 20 guys made it. And he says this in this interview on World Street Journal online. He says, if you start thinking, he's talking about how difficult it is, especially this log thing. And he says, if you start thinking just about yourself, if you start thinking just about your own pain, only about your own fear, then you will collapse and quit. But if at that moment, when you're facing great pain and great challenge, you're able to think about the person to your left and who needs you and the person to your right who needs you, then you will find the strength to go on and to serve others. And that's what helps to build this great team. So, you know, these guys are saying, if you can focus not just on your own pain and how hard it is for you, but you think about the rest of your group and how your part of holding up that log is going to serve the other guys, then you can find the strength to do this. And well, if the guy at the front, when he couldn't make it, everybody couldn't make it. But later on in the video, what you actually see is there's a team leader of this 8 people. And he actually, because he sees that the guy at the front is struggling, that he's not going to make it. Instead of yelling at him, instead of just, you know, saying, "You suck, you know, what are you doing, blah, blah, blah." He says, "Okay, let's switch positions." So he brings him to the back where he's kind of surrounded by other guys that are able to hold it up. And then the team leader goes to the front so that he can hold up the front on his own. And when they do that, they actually make it. They can actually make it to the 45 seconds. So I'm not here saying, hey, if you're lagging behind, you know, what are you doing? You need to think about the team. But saying, hey, if somebody else is lagging behind, let's figure out a way. If you are one of those that are not lagging behind, figure out a way to help them out and work together as a team so that we can fight the good fight together. And as we draw near the end of this year, 2011, I want to encourage us to keep fighting the good fight. Let's remember that our own actions will affect the attitudes and feelings of our other church members. And if we want to make it together, we'll have to think outside of ourselves and find strength for the whole body. And at the same time, we need to reach out to those that are struggling. And if you are doing well, don't sit there to criticize and judge. That person is still part of the body, and we're not helping by simply pointing fingers, right? We need to find out a way to help them and do it together. So there's three things I wanted to talk about, right? Remembering your calling. We have a great calling as a church from God, but you as individuals have a calling from God that is placed on you. So don't forget that, and let's fight the good fight, and let's remain faithful in the small things. You know, to God, it really matters that we are people of integrity. Whether it's on the stage, or it's the big thing, or it's the small thing, what we do when no one else sees us. So let's remain faithful in those things. And the third thing, let's fight together as we go on this journey together. So I'm going to invite the worship team up. And this morning, we have the privilege of taking part in communion together. And it's to remember the death and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we can really think about what we're doing today in this communion, this is why we fight the good fight. You know, because of what Jesus has done for us. It's a love response from us to Jesus, who gave his life for us so that we may have an eternal life of joy and peace through him and in him. So let's take this communion together as a body. It's a great way for us to come together as a body. It's a great way for us to remember, man, we're doing this as a love response, right? We're fighting the good fight as a love response to God, who has done so much for us. So as the worship team leads us, let's just take a bit of time to meditate on what we're about to do, and also on the message, just about your own calling and if God is speaking to you about any area of your life to be faithful in, and also just as a body, if you know, about fighting together, coming together. Let's meditate upon those things and allow the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us before we partake in the communion. To you from 1 Corinthians 11, 23-26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." If I can invite the ushers up, please. As the ushers pass the elements to you, please receive it and hold on to it until everyone receives the elements, and then we'll take it together as a body. And so you can use this time just to wait upon the Lord and meditate upon the Lord, and upon the cross, and upon the love of God for you. And if for whatever reason you want to refrain from partaking in this communion, please feel free to simply pass the tray along. The worship team is going to lead us in the time of worship in this time as well. pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for your love. We just want to sing about your love and just meditate upon that love that you have poured out upon us this morning. And we want to respond to your love, you know, just by living for you, God, fighting the good fight. And I thank you that as we do that, Lord, that we have a crown of righteousness in store for us, God, as we persevere and fight the good fight. Thank you so much for your love. I pray that you give us an eternal perspective, Lord, and really be able to live for what matters for eternity. And thank you for just the blood that you shed for us and your body that was broken for us. God, we'll never be able to repay the sacrifice. Help us not to try and do that, God, but just to receive your grace, receive your love, receive your mercy, and as a response to that, just to give ourselves to you completely. And thank you, Lord. We love you, God. Let's take the elements together. This is Christ's body broken for you. And this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you. Let's rise together and sing this song as a worship to God. Before we end the service, I just want to remind you that you can come up to the front for prayer after the service. If the well members could just be up here already before the end of the service. We have a team, a prayer team called The Well that will be praying for you for physical healing or any other prayer needs that you might have. So you can come up to the front at the end of service. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your love and grace. And I pray that you'll help us to fight the good fight. God, I pray that you will give us the energy and the conviction that we need to stay on our course, God, and to run the race, to fight the good fight, and to persevere. Thank you for giving us such a great year, God. And Lord, as we start, to start 2012, God, help us to just be refreshed from you, Lord, and have a renewed sense of calling and purpose, God. So we thank you. We love you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today. Go to the back for refreshments, and we'll see you guys next week.